happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're finding many things to be thankful for. Our first guest definitely is. Nancy Curtis's son, Theo Padnos, spent the last two Thanksgivings as a hostage in Syria. This past August, he was released by the al-Qaeda affiliate al-Nusra Front. Nancy is now part of a fraternity of families who've agonized over kidnapped loved ones. People like the Foleys of Vermont, whose son Jim was taken about the same time Theo was, but by ISIS fighters who beheaded him right around the time Theo came home. What's it like to mourn that loss while celebrating your own good fortune? And how did Theo get home? Nancy worked in museums. She didn't have a clue. Theo is fluent in Arabic, an expert in the region. He'd written the book Undercover Muslim about Yemen. But he was a freelancer. He had no employer for Nancy to turn to. And the U.S. government will not pay ransom to terrorists. We almost stumbled across the youthful 77-year-old Nancy Curtis one night this week. She was under a bush in her yard in Cambridge, Massachusetts, raking leaves.
Hello.
Well, here we are. Welcome.
Yes, I always do my gardening by night.
By moonlight.
Yeah, that's right.
Inside Nancy's home, we settled in to hear how Theo was brought home and to hear the anticipation of this, the first Thanksgiving since he's been back.
So I'm guessing there's a lot of joy for you, but maybe some mixed feelings too.
Yeah, I am so very happy that Theo is home safe and in very good shape. He's recovering very well from a terrible ordeal. We're profoundly, profoundly happy. Of course, we are humbled by the fact that other families were not as fortunate as we are.
You've become comrades through this. You know Diane Foley, the Foley family from Vermont, very well, and this day is particularly painful for them.
Right, because this Jim was kidnapped on Thanksgiving Day, and they're just terrific, brave, loving people. Diane and I remain good friends.
She said somewhere, Diane Foley said that the reason that they knew that there was something wrong is that he always called them on Thanksgiving. Oh.
Well, I knew that something was wrong about Theo because we had been in daily communication. I knew he was going into Syria for just a few days. Suddenly there was nothing from him, and then an email that said, "Hey," that was the subject line, and there was no message. And it was just like a dagger to the heart. I didn't hear any news whatsoever until the end of July 2013. That's when a fellow cellmate was able to escape. And then the FBI called me and said, "We have proof of life. We know that Theo is alive."
This was Matt Schreier. We know he escaped through a window. Your son didn't make it out. So you have proof of life, and then still nothing. What is that like, that unknown?
Well, I think you adapt. You cannot live in terror every day for 2 years. I think I went pretty numb. I didn't allow myself to contemplate the worst because it would be paralyzing. Three female cousins, all of them professional women with great demands on their time, took on finding Theo and getting him out as a second job. It was just remarkable. And I did the zombie state, pretty much functioning. I was going to work every day, but I don't think you can live in just 100% terror all the time.
Well, and you're also reminding us that there's no department of families whose children have been taken hostage by terrorist groups overseas.
No. And other, that does exist, and I think the French have such an agency in their government. It is painful. It's terrible to see other people in the same situation having their sons be released and yours cannot be released. I fully understand the United States policy. We were warned by the State Department, you can't pay a ransom and you could be prosecuted. I understand the reasons for it, but I think there needs to be a debate. How do you handle this?
Until then, how did Nancy handle this? She told me while cooking up a wonderful supper, and it's an incredible story. Ultimately, one of Nancy's cousins sat next to a man named David Bradley at a dinner. He's the owner of Atlantic Media, He put together a search team and got the Qatar government to negotiate with Theo's kidnappers. Incredible. But that would be later. In the beginning, when Theo first went missing, Nancy didn't know what to do.
I called my daughter. I called my cousin. I don't know what to do. And after a few days, somebody said, well, why don't you call the FBI? And I thought, oh, no, the FBI only does, you know, bank robberies and kidnappings in the United States. And no, I think they're handling terrorism. So I call the Boston office, and I say, I think something's happened to my son in Syria, and I need help. And this guy says, lady, what do you want me to do? I didn't send him to Syria.
Well, it's just a reminder. What do you do when
well,
you...
Well, I hadn't a clue. Nobody, there's no handbook.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the FBI did respond and told Nancy that even though the State Department warned against negotiations, the FBI would help her. A friend then suggested an Arabic-speaking acquaintance. And incredibly, Nancy Curtis found herself sitting down with the FBI and her new friend, the Arabic translator, speaking to her son's kidnappers by Skype.
They made it very clear they did not want to deal with the family. They wanted to deal with the United States government. I think they realized that American families don't have the kind of money that they were looking for. Well, it certainly didn't in my case. They took a video of me, and then they could show it to Theo to make sure that they had the right person.
You had an FBI agent who was there, even though the State Department says there should not be negotiation.
I have the greatest respect for the FBI, and they are friends for life.
Well, talk about mixed messages, though.
Well, I didn't care about that. If I, if somebody's going to help me and be nice and supportive, and you know, of course I'm going to listen to them. So, yeah, the government needs to speak with one voice and be more overall compassionate.
That's just mind-boggling. You're on the phone with this remote medieval, you know.
Well, the people they chose, they're called interlocutors. So what they say is, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a member of Nusra, but my cousin is. The first guy that we talked with, he gradually became friendly with my Arab-speaking friend. He said to them, listen, you have to understand this is a poor old woman. She's sold her clothes. She's selling her furniture. She's doing everything she can to raise money. But he was putting it in cultural terms that the people could understand.
As we said, ultimately the government of Qatar negotiated Theo's release. They claimed they didn't pay ransom. Theo came home.
What was it like for you to read the Sunday New York Times cover story written by your son, telling what happened? He was tortured. He was abused psychologically.
Well, I'll have to be honest. It took me several tries. And what's amazing to me is his lack of bitterness. He loves the culture. He loves the people. And he assumes some responsibility for the fact that he was captured by people that he shouldn't have trusted.
What made me angry was one of the reasons he was alone is that he couldn't get any editors.
It's the story of a writer. You know, this was his kind of last gasp effort. Because I was saying to him, Theo, you've got to have plan B. Because if this thing doesn't work, you've got to be able to earn a living. You've got to have a career. And this was his, okay, Mom, I'll just do this one more time.
And to me, when I was reading through the article, when I got to one part, I wondered, how is Nancy reading this? And it's the part where his captor said, okay, we're going now. We're going to return you to your mama. And your son writes, I'd long ago said goodbye to my mother in private nighttime telepathic conversations. I didn't allow myself to believe that I would see her again.
Yeah, well, he told me that when he came back. He said, Mom, I talk to you a lot. And I said, Mom, you know, I don't know if I can go on like this. I might just have to do something because it's just too painful, meaning he might have to kill himself. And he said to me, and Mom, you said, that's okay, Theo, I understand. You do what you have to do. And I wrote this to the other parents after Theo got out, and I said, no matter what, believe that you were there with your child in prison and that that bond can never be broken. And I hope that gave them some comfort, particularly when it turned out that they were to be killed.
Yeah.
One of the worst moments was when I heard that Jim had been killed. It just devastated me because I hadn't contemplated that that could happen to Theo. You can't let yourself think that. And when the reality hit, I just sank on the floor and sobbed. They were taken a month apart in the same part of Syria, and they were held in the same prison complex, although neither one was aware that the other existed. And ISIS, as Theo described it, it calved out of Nusra and became a separate group and took a bunch of prisoners with it.
Yeah. Could have been Theo.
Could have been Theo. You have to hug your children. And you have to thank your friends and tell them how much you love them. I'm still trying to pull myself together, and I've recently retired, and so I'm building a new life for myself as well.
You've told me that Thanksgiving's your favorite day.
Everybody's going to be very happy. I think anybody who goes through a life-threatening trauma like this, it changes you. You know what can happen. I'm humbled by the many people who threw themselves into saving Theo, and many of them who didn't even know him. That's very humbling. And also you learn not to let the little things drive you crazy. And I hope I can hold on to that.
The hell with the leaves.
That's right.
Nancy Curtis of Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is her first Thanksgiving with her son Theo since he was released after 2 years by Al-Qaeda operatives in Syria last August.